The next king up, king of Yuchet, every line is Atah, Hashem, you did something, said something great and powerful. And Loma, why are we downtrodden and experiencing destruction? Atah, Lama, Atah, Lama, stop the poem, the king of. The Beis HaMikdash, I want to focus on three things. The Beis HaMikdash is mentioned a few times, where it says, Atah kanata l'sheves hodecha, you prepared a dwelling place for your glory. Harzeh kanti yamincha. And then, of course, why did you let it get destroyed? And in three of the times, it mentions Titus, Titus. Mentions Titus. Three times, alludes to Titus, how he entered the Beis HaMikdash, he took a zona into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he stabbed the paroches, blood came out, and with his goyish cup, he thought he had killed. That's that part. Now, what Dessler says, one of the most important things of Tisha B'Av is that we experience the Bechia Shol Hinnom by the Meraglim, and we really need a Bechia Shol Emes, which is usually very hard to do that for something that occurred over almost 2,000 years ago. However, the Nefesh HaChaim, the Chaim Lozner, writes like this. He writes, a person should never say Chas V'Shalom in his heart. Who am I? What can I do with my sin? I'm so little, I'm so nothing. However, what you have to understand that all your sin and diburim and machshavos, every moment is never lost. And it actually affects not only this world, upper worlds. If you do mitzvahs, obviously the repercussions and the positivity is amazing. And therefore, reverse is also something to be scared about. And he says like this. He says that Titus and the Nebuchadnezzar went in and destroyed the base of Megiddo. Yeah, they did that. But it really wasn't what you think happened. Really, all they succeeded in doing was taking ground flour that was already, it's already ground up, it's already flour. And they tried to grind it a little more, but it looked like it was ground. Same thing with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, really, before they even destroyed it. Why? It says because each of us is really a Beis HaMikdash. We're really a Beis HaMikdash. Every single one of us is a Beis HaMikdash. And when a Jew, Chas V'Shalom, has Machshava Lo Tohora enter his head, his moah, his brain, his brain is like the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Each of us has a Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're all made up of a Heikal, a Mizbeah, a Menorah. So in our Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have an improper thought. That's like what we heard about that Titus did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim of the Zohar. And that's what really causes the destruction. We're all Batei Mikdash. We're all Batei Mikdash. This year, we witnessed, I'm guessing it's around 1,700 Batei Mikdash destroyed. From October 7th till today, Batei Mikdash, every single one. We can't even fathom 1,700 destroyed Batei Mikdash. And on the flip side, we've experienced a lot of living Batei Mikdash. The Rabbeinu Bahai, actually, Parshas Pinchas, says like this. He says that Vayichaper al Bnei Yisrael, Pinchas atoned for Am Yisrael by what he did. So Rabbeinu Bahai writes, to teach you that whoever kills Rishayim is as if he was Makriv Korbanos. My brother has his future son-in-law went in, blew up a tunnel. That's his job. He blew up a tunnel. He killed, originally the Shabak told him he killed 19 people. They had to up it to 22. So he was makariv 22 korbanos. When Israel shot into a school, thank God, they didn't just, so originally the Pharaoh was 19, now it's up to 31. They killed 31 terrorists, 31 korbanos were really corrupt by Batei Mikdosh, living Batei Mikdosh. I just think a word is in order also about our people, our people. Sometimes we look down on ourselves. Let's see what Chazal say. Chazal bring up a pasuk by Yitzchak. Yitzchak is, Yaakov comes to get the brachos. Vayora Hesreach Gigoda. Yitzchak smells the godim of Yaakov. Now, they really should have smelled really bad. The Oroti Zim Rashi tells us it smelled bad. He says it smells like the scent of the Megan. Wow, how is this? So the Medrash says, it's the Medrash Rabbah. Vayora Hesreach Gigoda. The Godov, without the kudos, can be bold of those who are rebellious. Okay? And they bring an example of two people, pretty bad, pretty bad. Yossi Meshita. Now, in Bayit Sheni, the Romans were actually scared to go into the Heichal. They were nervous. You know, this God of theirs does miracles and maybe he'll punish us. So they said, who will volunteer to go in? Which Jew will volunteer to go in? And if you go in, you can take anything you want out of the base of, and it's yours. It's yours. So Yossi Meshita, they got to be pretty low. This is defaming your people. Yossi Meshita says, I'll go in. He goes in, and he comes out with, but he has their own choice, but they choose. He chose the menorah. The Romans saw the menorah go, nah, 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 nah. That's for a king. We have to balk on that part of the deal. Go in again and choose something else. He goes, oh my gosh, no, I can't go in again. I already angered my creator once. I can't do it again. I can't. They go, look, you got to go back in. They go, I can't. He goes, we'll free you from taxes for life. I can't go back in. We're going to cut you limb by limb. With a saw. I can't go back in. So they took him. And they started cutting his body up with a saw. And he screams. Now, most people would scream. Okay, most normal people would scream. Except Jews aren't normal. Okay, we know that. And we just, no, that's what she just screams the following. Woe to me that I angered God. Woe to me that I anger God. That's all he says until he dies. That's our rebellious people. Wow. The next story, Yaakov Ish Tzoraros. Who was Yaakov Ish Tzoraros? He was the nephew through the sister of Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer was one of the greatest who ever lived. He was called Isha Eshkolot by Ibn Sota. A different level. Different level completely. Anyway, the Greeks grabbed Yossi ben Yoezer to kill him because he weren't allowed to teach Torah, learn Torah. And he was being led on a horse to his death. Yachin, who had already Hellenized, become a Hellenist, he took his horse and he rode along his uncle to make fun of him. Imagine, he's making fun of his uncle. As his uncle being taken to his death, the Tzadik Gadol. Now, Ruch HaYesh Pulevitz talks about this incident three times in his Sefer. He points out the Kedusha of Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer is being led to his death. His nephew is making fun of him. And all Yossi ben Yoezer can think of is how can I be the Karev, my nephew at this moment. No, not normal. Anyway, he manages with words, without going through the whole thing, with time, he convinces, unbelievable piece of Clash Bloods about it, he convinces his nephew that he's wrong, but it like stabs the heart of Yochim Ben Tzoraros when he realizes the error of his ways, and he leaves. And he goes, and he's obviously a brilliant person. He plans Arba Misos Beisdin for himself to occur all at once. They meanwhile take Yossi Ben Yoezer to the stake or whatever, to die. And Yossi Ben Yoezer sees through his Ruach HaKodesh, my nephew made it to Gan Eden a moment before I did. That's our rebellious people. That's our rebellious people. So yes, we have sinned, but our rebellious people have shown tremendous courage, tremendous vagueness by Hashem in ways we can't fathom even. I sometimes think we're all crazy because of 7.2 million Jews threatened with destruction. We're here, and yet we're not leaving. And that includes many, 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 many people who are not religious yet. Because I'll tell you a secret, almost everybody here, including those who don't look religious, really do believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kinah talks about ups and downs. Ups and downs. It's really what the Kinah talks about. Rabbi David actually, in his Pirkei Avos here, mentioned the Sforno, that Jews can't be mediocre. But we can't be mediocre. Sforno says that in Re'e Anochi, Nosef Nechavayom Brocha Ukola. Brocha Ukola. Jews either have Brocha or Klova. Ain't no middle. There's no middle for us. Top or bottom. That's it. Heights or depths. Kochavim or Afar. And it's really what it talks about throughout the thing. I'll give just quickly a few examples. Ata Amarta Hekeviti Mok. Yaakov said, I will do good to you. V'niflinu aniva amok. Niflinu aniva amok means, Moshe Rabbeinu said it. We are different. Nevuah should only be for Jews. Only we should have a prophetic experience. And then, how were the Bnei Glial Mechalel Shein Hashem? It's all a Chilul Hashem. Everything happened. How did you not destroy them? Skip a little in the poem, in the Kino. You gave us Dvash Misela. Now this, the Redak points this up. This is unbelievable. It says he's only trying to point out. We sometimes get focused without realizing in Kriyas Yamsuf that God made water into dry land. But he also did the reverse. He made a rock into water. Nothing can stop a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And yet what happened? Our enemies took our children and dashed them on the Sela, what we say in Shiloh. Okay. I just want to point that out. By the way, this was also said by Homer. The Homer recognizes Kida Falti Bola, but at least the Zeresh recognized it. This Ummah is like Afor and Kofabim. We can reach either the Afor or the Kofabim. Now, just to give a little perspective how far we have fallen, Rabbi Yisrael Ariel of Mochana Mikdash was in the Six-Day War. He actually helped capture Har Habatz. Now, his commander, I'm telling you, this is actually incredible. His commander gave him over 100 Jordanians to watch, he and one other guy. Two guys with guns against over 100 Jordanians standing there. Now, come on, let's be real. They jump him, he's finished. No, that's not what happened. They were trembling. That's what happened. And I'm willing to bet with Rabbi David, for sure my brother-in-law, when he went to Italy, used to take the Arab bus. There was no problem taking an Arab bus. There was zero problem. 1970s, early 1970s. Gradually, that fear has gone away. The fear of the Arabs for Jews has fallen off. And that's why they still fight us. Pretty scary. Now, what I take also, from, especially from the speaker we had at Beis Tzima, Rabbi. On the one hand, we were attacked, and some people were killed in Kerem HaShalom, his kibbutz. On the other hand, he saw the miracle The love of control is an up and down together. He saw how many people were saved. Okay, Rabbi Meir Arnold told me, and unfortunately it wasn't in speech, but he told me that when he heard him previously, he said, when they came in and fought, they fought from like 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. Now they each had like, I forget now, 6 magazines of bullets. It's not enough bullets. And yet, they were able to keep on shooting. Okay, they probably took some of the dead Arabs, but he said, no, no, no. Obviously, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us bullets because we didn't have enough bullets. I actually, there's a program called DARA. I get the newsletter. And 1 week, Avi Kahana, I think is his name, wrote in, he somehow there are people like this. He understood immediately what was happening, raced down to the south. I know quite a few people like this. Also, the other speaker, Mrs. Thaber, her son, understood that too, and raced down to the south. Anyway, he gets there, he gets a gun. Now, he got a gun from something called the Nishkiya, Neshek, right? Okay. It's known that many times these guns don't work. Okay. Anyway, for 3 days, it works beautifully. A terrorist comes out and that was the beginning of it. He shoots him dead. For 3 days, he's shooting, kill him. Finally, 3 days, he's finally able with reinforcements to have a rest. You need a rest. He rests, he showers, and you gotta check your gun. He checks his gun, it jams. He tries again, it's jammed, doesn't work. He comes to return the gun to Nishiyahu and goes, you can't use this gun, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And he said, many in his battalion also, their guns were the same, they didn't work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who brought us to the lowest level when the sensors and the fence didn't stop them, also brought us to the heights with tremendous, both were miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us the whole time, but we're actually experiencing heights and depths, literally, at the same time. The last thing of this, which is critical, is the last stanza. When we say, Atat Tzadik Al Kol Habor, you are a Tzadik Hashem for everything that has happened to us. We accept that whatever you do is for the best. The Smag says this is a mitzvah of the Torah. It says it's the 17th mitzvah to say, to justify whatever happens, even though we might not understand. We have to realize, by the way, God needs it for the best, and we accept what he says and what he does to us. By the way, just as far as our understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu, by capital name, since it says, we're like a fly going around the mathematician. Okay? It's an even greater separation between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to understand this. We'll have to work on this for a lifetime. It's not a one-time thing. You have to work and work and work. What's that? It's something bad happens, so you have to work on it. The Smag, for example, himself, he would go from community to community trying to be the Kodesh people. And people had a problem. They go, we were chosen of Yeshua, and now bad things are happening to us. We were better off than we weren't from. And the Smag explained, how do you know? It's quite possible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a Rachamon, and he wants to clean you of your sins in this generation, in now. So when you go to Olam Haba, you have a clean slate. And those who went off the derech are being punished later in Olam Haba. It's actually possible at the end of this week's parsha. That's fine. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, unbelievable book, by the way. Life and Times of God, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So in the book, it talks about how he was looking for a shela in Europe. Okay? He was in a shela, very poor. He couldn't make it. By the way, when he eventually came to America, he had to send money back to pay off his debts that he owed. Anyway, they say, you're a shoo-in for this shela. And he loses it. He doesn't understand it. He's upset about it. Then he was a shoo-in for a second shell. Shoo-in! Doesn't make sense. He loses it. He ends up, he has no choice. He goes to America. He leaves his family. He eventually brought his family on the last boat out of Europe, right? And they're saved. And he says, "Here, I thought it was a bad thing that I lost Michela, and it saved my life. Hashem had different plans for me." Okay, I don't know about the other Rabbanim and their families, that I can't answer. But this is what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is saying about himself. Aruch HaShulchan says in the first siman of Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Hayim, it is critical for us to remember that Tziduk HaDin, that the Smag mentioned, is not because Hashem is taking the Nekama on us. Lehecha, Hashem is our Father. Hashem loves us. He's trying to direct us. So at the end of this keynote, we say, Atat Tzadik HaKol Po'alei, we got to remember that Hashem truly is our Father, and He truly loves us. That's all, Marta. Thank you, Tigmo.